This is CliffCentral.com.
Hey, George, how are you?
Good, and you, Gareth?
Yeah, cool. We found your responsibly ad. It's terrific.
It's terrific. I love it. I see. I actually went to go and look to see whether beers are starting to change the drink responsibly slogan, and they're using some other slogans. So,
oh, really?
So I think it's affecting them. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Well, I liked it while it lasted, and I would buy a responsibly, even though it probably tastes dreadful, just so that I could say, look, I'm drinking responsibly.
All right. Love it.
What's going on?
Well, in the news this week, as you probably know, the last country in the world to have a ban on female drivers getting driver's licenses was Saudi Arabia.
Yes.
And they lifted the ban, and a racing car driver by the name of Asil Al-Hamad,
yes,
took a victory lap around the track with the Jaguar F-Type on the 24th of June. And she also took a Formula One car, a 2012 Renault Formula One car, around the track at the Paul Ricard track last week before the Grand Prix. So
awesome.
Women can drive anywhere in the world now.
Yay, it's about bloody time. It's ridiculous that they
weren't allowed
to drive in Saudi
Arabia. Yes, that was a dumb rule, man.
Yeah, well, there we go. So even welcome, Saudi Arabia.
Jesus.
And welcome to the women of Saudi Arabia who don't have to have their five-year-old son sit next to them in the car if they're going to drive, because they need it to be chaperoned by their five-year-old or their husband or their uncle or some other man.
They're hardly liberated in general, but that's a start.
It's a start. And I think that after this, you know, once you open those gates, other things will become free as well. All right, good news.
Yeah. Very good news. Very good news. Now, another bit of good news is, you know, South Africa, and I'm sure you've driven through them, is very bad with potholes. I mean, who hasn't driven through a pothole? Or, I mean, there's one massive pothole, probably the size of my car, near my house.
Yeah.
And Ford has developed this technology to detect potholes, and it's coming in the Ford Focus at the end of this year and coming to South Africa in the new Ford Focus, and it's not new technology. All Ford Focus has done is taken existing technology and put a bit of a twist on it, because you get this active suspension called optional continuously controlled damping suspension systems. Yeah! Sounds complicated, but basically what it does is it inputs or gathers information from the suspension of the car every 2 milliseconds.
Wow.
And so Ford has taught the system to recognize a pothole scenario and react by not allowing the wheel to drop into the pothole.
Oh, that's
interesting. And that happens in milliseconds.
That's fantastic, because I was going to say, if it feels it through the suspension, it's already too late.
So like your wheel like jumps up into the wheel arch and hides from the pothole like
Gordy, you know, you every week you make me laugh. The wheel hides from the pot.
Well, that's what I just imagined, like this wheel that jumps out the way.
So like, you know, when a cat, when you throw something at a cat and it's because it jumps out of the way. It's kind of like that. All right, that's very clever.
Very clever, very clever. And it's not new technology. All they've done is they've taught the thing to do something differently. Hide, as Gordy says.
Well, one more reason why, you know, the private sector should always be backed over government, because government, if they just fixed the potholes, we wouldn't have to figure out complicated ways for our cars to jump out of potholes.
Bruce, there are people starting yacht clubs in the potholes in four ways.
I know people. I sometimes see a whole family gathered looking for their loved ones.
Yeah. Some people go for a swim in a pothole in summer when they fill up with water.
Well, I don't know. You know, maybe on the Far East Rand, those bakuzis still exist.
Bakuzi. Listen, George, we have to do an Auto Central show from a bakuzi one day in summer. All right, please.
I think it's a bloody good idea.
Or we should bloody optimize. Like, let's not fuck around. Let's do a bakuzi properly. Let's put jets in it. Let's get one of those enormous. You told us on a show a week or two ago about some massive bucky that costs like squillions of rand. Do you remember?
Yes, I do.
What was that? What was that?
The F-150, I think it was.
Yeah, the ginormous one. We should do one of those that it's got like a diving board, jets, like cocktail section. Let's bakuzi it up. Let's like take this to the next level.
Proper Auto Central bakuzi. But
that would be
in other news, a startup called Ride Vision has got $2.5 million worth of funding to develop a safety feature, which is 360 degree cameras around a motorcycle. You know, you get 360 degree cameras around cars,
yes,
and it's standard equipment. This company has been given $2.5 million worth of funding to develop this for motorcycles.
That's very clever and very useful, because I always feel very bad for people on motorbikes. People in cars just don't care. They don't look.
Sometimes you just can't see them, though. Like, they go in the little gaps between stuff, and that's all well and good, but like, even like, not from gross negligence, just sometimes you're not double checking to see if something's coming at four times the speed limit that wants to drive right next to you in the moment you want to move slightly over. Not to say that like drivers are not negligent towards bikes, but they scare the crap out of me when they come fast from behind.
It's a good safety feature. I like that.
That's a good safety feature. Let's see if they can get it right, because I think 360 degree camera systems, you shouldn't be taking your eyes off the road. So I assume it would be more than just camera systems, but rather detection that either makes the bike turn or brakes or something of that nature. But let's watch that one closely. And then Ford has also developing a smart jacket in London. There were a bunch of engineers in London who cycled to work, and were getting frustrated at cars not knowing where they were going to turn. So these engineers took a technology and put it into a jacket, and this smart jacket allows your phone to be mounted in on your forearm and under a little flap, and plugs into the jacket. And then there's a vibrator pod on the sleeves. And as you navigate, the vibrator pod will either vibrate on your left arm or your right arm to tell you to turn left or turn right, which you don't have to then take your eyes off the road.
Okay, because you wouldn't otherwise be able to do this without looking at the screen and potentially causing some trouble.
Exactly. But the jacket goes even further. If you raise one of your arms, a flashing indicator light on your sleeve lights up on the arm that you're lifting, which then signals to cars which way you intend turning. And they've also built into the jacket an accelerometer, which if you slow down, red LEDs flash at the back of the jacket to signal that you're braking.
Wow. So this is fantastic.
Absolutely fantastic.
Talk about wearables.
I just need to organize a proper, useful hooter for bicycles. I used to ride around in Cape Town quite a lot, and I was like, you could get bells, and then there was this one like really cheap, shitty one that just made like a beeping noise. Someone needs to just make a proper hooter that you can put on your handlebar. That would make
a big
difference.
Gordy, you're probably old enough. Didn't you put the bicycle playing card with a peg onto your
obviously
spoke?
And a tennis ball.
And a tennis ball.
Yeah.
What was the use of the tennis ball?
Just looked cool. Because when the wheels are going fast, it makes like a yellow circle inside the wheel that looks almost like a laser from Star Wars, but not quite. Like that was it. It just looked cool. It was like it made a yellow circle. Obviously, think about it. If you're going quickly, it makes a yellow circle.
No, you just can't see it.
Lasers.
Yeah, in my mind.
Okay, very good.
Very good. Finally, Germany has signed a deal in the city of Ingolstadt to allow Audi, in conjunction with Airbus, to develop proper flying cars or flying taxis.
Yes. Yes.
As a matter of fact.
Thank you, Jesus. This is good news.
Are there going to be drones, basically massive drones, like with the cool propeller systems?
Probably massive drones, because those are the easiest to automate.
I'm selling everything to buy the first one.
And moving to Ingolstadt.
Never be the first person with a thing like that. Be the eighth person.
Why?
Be in the first, because the first person is the one whose everything is completely untested. They're going to go, the first 10 years of flying cars, there were a couple of trials and errors, and one of them was Gareth Cliff. And then we perfected knowing that you need a fucking suspension safety system, and that's why they're standard on all flying cars. And like, for example, cars took a long time before you had to have seatbelts, or that they invented seatbelts. Like, you want to be the guys that tried the first seatbelts and not the guys that tried the first cars without them.
Yeah, there we go. All right, and maybe I'll be the eighth. Are you interested in being the first, George?
I think the bottom has been tested out of these drones, and these are going to be taxis, and I'm pretty sure that the safety features and testing are going to go on for a couple of years before anybody actually gets into it. So yes, I would.
Oh, I'd go to sleep at night. I dream about flying cars. I can't wait. I'm so happy this is happening in my lifetime. Life is good. George, you've made my day.
Yeah.
Brilliant stuff. All right. Awesome. Well, you have a good weekend, and that's it from me.
All right. You can catch an episode of Auto Central, brand new one, on cliffcentral.com if you haven't listened to it before. It's on a Monday live at 9 o'clock, or you can catch the podcast anytime you like.
This is cliffcentral.com.